Between Mother's Day and Father's Day, I like to present some lessons on the family. So I want to ask us to turn our hearts toward home a few moments. Let me ask you this. How do you spell family? How do you spell family? Well, that's not too good to ask how you spell family when it's even pictured before you on PowerPoint. But I want to take the letters of the word family to help us to be reminded of some things that families are all about as far as God's design. The letter F reminds us that families are for formation. They are for formation. In other words, in our families, there's a forming, there's a process that we're to undergo by God's design. For example, family is a place for forming relationships. It's in the family that relationships are formed, obviously. But it's also in the family that we learn to relate to one another and to others. There's where our beginning begins with our education in relating to others is within the context of family. And so we learn relationships within our family. And sometimes we have to relearn some things that we learn from family. But we must underscore the importance of this because how well we do in life depends largely upon how well we get along with others, how well we interact with other people, on the job, at school, in our neighborhood, in our family. And so it's so important that we learn to build and to form relationships within the family. That's why it's so important that we learn to be respectful and kind and thoughtful, honest and friendly, beginning at home. Because that's what a family is for, forming relationships. Family is also for the forming of values. It's where we learn our first values as to what's important and the standard by which we're going to live our lives. We first learn those things in the context of our families. We learn either how to tackle problems head on or how to run from them in denial. We learn how to either face life or flee from life in family. We learn what's important, and we learn that very young. So we as older family members need to think often about what values are we teaching the rest of our family members? Are we emphasizing those things that are most important? Family is also for the forming of character. Character, like faith, is more caught than it is taught. And based upon the values that we have in our families, values that God's design is that they originate from God and from His Word, that living by those values is what forms character. And we learn what character is and we develop our character in the context of family. Are we teaching and modeling character traits like honesty, integrity, responsibility, and compassion? Those are the character traits that God desires to see in us. Those are the things that we need to emphasize as our families are for forming character. Galatians 4:19, the Apostle Paul writes from this vantage point of a family member, kind of unusual in that he writes from the vantage point of a mother giving birth. I mean, I think he's trying to underscore how important it was to him and how difficult it may be. He says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." Paul says, I'm in that pain as a mother giving birth to a child. I'm going to keep on working, exerting this effort until Christ is formed in you. And folks, that's the best formation we can have in our families. That each of us puts forth effort in cooperating with God until Christ is formed in each of us. So family's for formation. Secondly, family is for attention. Attention given to each individual family member. Philippians 2 speaks to this in the context of the church family, but it certainly applies to our family at home. Paul says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." In the family, we need to give attention to each individual member of the family. Look out for one another's needs, teaching us to do that not only within the family, but in our other relationships, that we don't do things from the vantage point of what's in it for me or selfishness or empty conceit, but we look to the needs of others above our own. Paul echoes this in Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Another version states it like this: love each other as brothers and sisters, and honor others more than you do yourself. Here are a couple of suggestions to help us give attention to individual family members. I like this one suggestion. Make it a rule to allow the people in your life to finish their thoughts, finish their ideas, and finish their sentences without cutting them off or giving your opinion. And that will require us to close our mouths and open our ears. But it communicates attention, it communicates value to one another in the family context when we allow our other family members to express their ideas, to finish their thoughts, which requires us to listen, to listen. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Why is that so true? Well, one is if we speak or we act before getting all the details, a lot of times we find we don't have enough of the information to make a wise decision. But also by refusing to listen, by interrupting, that is also folly and shame, because it's communicating to another that what you have to say isn't important. Let's give attention. That's what families are for. You also spell family with the letter M. And may I remind us that family is for making memories. Making memories. Remembering is a very spiritual, very biblical concept. In fact, in the Bible, God's people are told to remember over 160 times. Let me give you an example. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. The Israelites were told, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." Teach them, continue to remind them of what God has done so that you will not forget. Again, a very biblical concept. Remember, remember. And in our families, we need to make memories that generations to come will remember in a positive way. We may not be able to erase the bad memories, but we can emphasize and capture the good memories. How do we do that? Well, just like your refrigerator door, enlarge photos of your family, perhaps vacation photos. Studies and surveys suggest that family vacations are the greatest memories that people have. If you have some great memories from family vacation, take note of those. Enable your family members to remember those events by having those photos. Return to memorable locations. If you had a great event somewhere, return to that. And I also love this suggestion: overwhelm your children with photos and videos of them growing up. I can't see that far right now, and I don't want to see that far. But when Haley goes off to school, I think that's when Patrice plans to get out the boxes and boxes of photographs that we have of the children. And I envision her already putting them into photo albums so that when our children come home, Lord willing, that they'll be able to open up a photo album and see their lives and relive some memories. And what does that communicate? That they're loved, that they're valued, that their lives are important. Families for making memories. What kind of memories are we making for our family members? And I want to remind you, it was a memory of a loving father that brought the prodigal son back home. Let's make memories to where our children will want to come home. They'll want to come home. Family is also spelled with the letter I. And families, we're reminded, are places for inspiration. For inspiration. Primarily through the means of encouragement. Let's inspire one another in our families through encouragement. I thought about it this morning. That old song, Home, Home on the Range, where the deer and the antelope play. You remember the rest? Where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Does that describe our families? And if not, let's correct that by giving encouragement to our family members. This is underscored in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. We'll read it from the Amplified Version. Therefore, encourage or admonish and exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another, just as you are doing. I want to underscore that word strengthen, because that's what encouragement does for us. It strengthens us. It causes us to have courage and that strength to continue to live for Christ. And so our homes need to be places where encouragement is given that inspires us to continue to be the kind of people God wants us to be. And people long for that encouragement. I remember reading about the contents of Abraham Lincoln's pockets when he was killed. And there were a number of things in his pockets, including some articles, as I recall, which were written concerning him that were commending him. President Abraham Lincoln needed that constant encouragement as he tried to lead our nation. All of us need that encouragement. I've never heard anyone say, "Stop encouraging me." I've had it up to here with encouragement. You won't ever hear that. But you'll always see people, if you look around, that need encouragement. Here's some encouraging ideas. Number one, catch people doing good things and praise them for it. And practice this at home. Catch them in the act of doing something good and let them know that you noticed. Number two, weigh your words. Weigh your words. And if we think about this concept of weighing our words, it'll cause us to think before we speak, to realize that our words have a lot of impact on our family members and on others around us. In fact, Proverbs 12:18 says that reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. One other encouraging idea is to write it out. And I amended this to say, or text. That seems to be a popular mode of information sharing. So to encourage, write it out. Or text it. But I want to suggest that even today, that we enjoy receiving mail, or we enjoy receiving messages, even if it's by text, messages of encouragement. I think about little children and how they love to receive mail. One day they may not know what that is. But there's one little 3-year-old that knew what it was. And even at 3 years old, he enjoyed getting mail. And he asked his dad one day, "Dad, did I get any mail?" And his dad responded, handed him something. He said, "Well, yes, you did. Here you go, occupant." You don't get those letters? But if you write it out, if you put it in a format where it can be kept and reflected upon, it gives encouragement. It inspires us to be the kind of people God wants us to be. Families are for inspiration. Families are for learning. In fact, the family is designed to be a learning center for life. In Luke 2:51, it says that Jesus was subject to his parents when they went to Nazareth. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. It's an excellent verse for parenting, that we keep all these different aspects of growth in our minds as we parent our children. But it's also great for us to think about personally, to develop in each of these areas. Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew intellectually. He grew in stature, that is physically. He grew in favor with God, that is spiritual development. He grew in favor with man, and that is social development. And see, families are where this begins, where it continues. It's a learning center for life. And may I underscore two areas, two things we definitely need to teach within our families. Our families need to be a place of learning God's Word. Learning God's Word. Timothy's a great example. He learned God's Word beginning at home. Paul would tell him, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Continue in the things that you have learned, and remembering from whom you learned them. Yes, Paul had taught Timothy a lot, but Timothy had also learned a lot from his godly mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Our families need to be places of learning God's Word. Ephesians 6:4 tells us that fathers are to take the lead. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And this Old Testament passage is still applicable today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This instruction to the Israelites of old was to be, this is to be constant conversation. There's to be a continual teaching when you rise up, when you go down at night, when you're walking along the way. Talk about God. Talk about His Word. We're to remember that our families are designed to be places where we learn God's Word. But secondly, where we learn God's work. Here's a passage that I hope you'll underscore. It's found at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in the section where, you know, Paul characteristically mentions people that he gives greetings to or is with him and sends greetings. And it's often these sections where we just read and kind of pass it by. But I hope you'll pause at verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 16. Notice what it says. "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints." That's so rich. First converts in Achaia, family of Stephanus. Not only were they converted to Christ, they became Christians, but as a family, they devoted themselves. And notice the King James has the word addicted themselves to the service of the saints. What a wonderful family that is. And what a wonderful family for us to emulate, to make sure that our families are places of not only learning God's word, but learning God's work, where we serve together as a family. There's a statement, the family that prays together stays together. I want to suggest a corollary, the family that serves together stays together. What can be done in our families? How can we imitate the household of Stephanus? What is it that we can do, parents, grandparents, that would include our children and grandchildren in teaching them to get out of ourselves and into the lives of others in meeting their needs? That's what a family is for. Learning God's word and his work. The last letter is why. And may it remind us that families are for yielding. Sometimes when you use an acrostic like this, you have to force a word to fit. This one isn't forced. This one is rich, yielding. Let me suggest two applications of what it means to yield within our families. One is that we need to learn to yield to one another. Yield to one another. Yield means to give up possession of, or claim to, or demand. It means to surrender. But in the usage of the word that I want to underscore, and as it applies to our relationships with one another, a synonym is defer. And let me give you a definition of defer. Defer implies a voluntary yielding or submitting out of respect or reverence for or deference and affection toward another. What does that mean? It simply means that in the family, we need to yield to one another in the sense of, I'm going to forget my own desire in this situation and let my wife do what she wants to do. Or I'm going to defer to my sister on this occasion and allow the family to do what she wants to do instead of what I want to do all the time. It means that we're going to empty ourselves of selfish desires and thinking that the world revolves around me, and allow my family members, my other family members, to have to do something they would like to do. Let me remind you of Romans 12, verse 10 that we referenced earlier. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And there's that idea, defer. What better place than in the family to learn, I can't have my way all the time. We need to learn it's okay if I don't have my way all the time. In fact, it's an expression of love to say, let's do what you want to do. It may mean for some of us, we have to give up the remote. Oh. It may mean for some of us that we have to go to the mall. Oh. But it may mean for us that we have to do something that may be something that we don't really enjoy, but out of love and out of deference for that person, we're willing to do that because we love them. I've heard of families planning family vacations where each person in the family determines the activities for a day or an evening. I like that. But it doesn't have to wait until vacation. Let's yield to one another. But I finish with the most important point. That is that as a family, we need to yield to God. We need to submit to God. And my encouragement is that we would call our families to yield to God. Isn't that what Joshua did? If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, he challenged the people of Israel, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods at which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will yield to God. How do you spell family? One way to spell it is family is for formation of relationships and values and character. Family is for accepting one another and giving attention to each member of the family, communicating value. Family is spelled learning. Learning God's word. Learning God's work. Family is for memories. Family is for inspiring each other through courage. Family is for yielding to one another, but most importantly to God. Where do we start? Let's start with that last one. Start with yielding your life to God. Then you'll be in a position to help yield your family to God. Have you submitted to God? Have you given your life to Him? Perhaps it's your desire this morning to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a penitent believer, to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can begin your life living for Him. And by your decision to do that, if you will yield your life to God, perhaps you can be the first of many in your family to do just that. And perhaps some of us, for the sake of our families and for the sake of ourselves, need to yield once again, to submit our lives to God, to recommit our lives to serving Christ. If that's the desire of your heart this morning, if you need to respond, please come right now as we stand and sing.